It's a catchy song. It
is.
Infects your brain like a poison and kills you. We will die.
No, well, we will, but it's not because of the Cruisin' Blast theme song. I don't think anyone's died because of the Cruisin' Blast theme song.
I mean, you'd be surprised. It's a common outcome of autopsies. The coroners determined that the cause of death was the theme song for Cruisin' Blast. And I think they determine that by observing the layers of the brain, like how one gauges the age of a tree by their rings.
Absolutely.
The outside layer will be extremely radical and cool. And that's how the coroners know, oh, I see, this is a Cruisin' death.
I think that's how doctors explain the layers of the brain. It's like, this is severely radical.
Well, I mean, with this particular affliction, yes. Well, yes, I mean, it's a telltale radical sign that you've been infected with the Cruisin' Blast theme song.
We've literally, this is a rare early morning episode that we're recording here. We got up. I'm literally wearing a robe right now.
Very, very cool and sexy and loungy.
Yeah.
I just need a cigar, yes.
I can work on that.
In a reading room.
Can you smoke cigars inside, or does that set off detectors?
No, I mean, you can. Like, people that are smokers, like, you know, a lot of people. What are you doing, Gizmo? A lot of people just smoke, like, in their house, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so you
which
make
is
your own
disgusting.
Rules. It is disgusting, yeah.
Even my dad doesn't do that. And yes. My dad is someone who, you know, does not put a lot of thought or care into the inside of his house. And he will not. He always goes out there in his robe and his baseball cap and smokes his cigarettes in the morning. But yeah, people that smoke inside, I mean, look, do you. It's your house, your home, whatever. But like, that seems, I guess you get used to it.
Well, that's the troubling part, is you get used to it and you don't realize that the smell's there. You become like blind to it if you get used to it. It's the same way, like, if I put on perfume, I'll smell it when I first put it on. And then throughout the day, like, I'll really have to make a dedicated effort to smell it on me. But yeah, it's such a strong smell, and it's one like smoking, and it permeates like fabrics and everything. Like, if you ever see like a person that's had like a lifetime's worth of smoking, their house, like the walls will be yellowed. If you move a picture off the wall, there's just like a yellow outline. It's really gross.
I feel like my uncle growing up, his house was like that.
Your dad's your
no,
mom's sister?
Mom's brother.
Screwed that up in a lot of
I
ways.
Said my uncle and you said my dad's sister.
Yeah, I screwed that up. I'll admit, I
couldn't have gone
there.
Much worse.
Yeah, I fucked up. I'm sorry.
You've gotten too radical from exposure to Cruisin'.
Listen, it's just a matter of time now before it's terminal.
Well, literally, we were walking around this morning, and we're both just like singing Cruisin'.
Yeah, and then trying to figure out what the like weird back vocal is.
Yeah, which, again, if I just sat down and listened to it, it's probably very clear. I think you said it's probably just, oh, yeah.
It's got to be. There's no way it's anything other than, oh, yeah.
No, I think we were recording Fire Escape and laughing and talking over it, and I think I was like, wait, what did it say? It sounded like he said, kiss the bag, and so in my head, I'm saying, kiss the bag a lot.
What is the bag, though?
Nothing. I mean, that's not the lyric.
There's no way.
It's absolutely just, oh, yeah, or something. Man, that spirit, if you could condense the spirit of video games, old video games that I like, I think just that song captures that, like, mid-90s, like, fuck it, this game is just dumb shit, but we're having a good time. Like,
well,
you know?
It's amazing that a song probably recorded in 2021 encapsulates the 90s so accurately.
And also, when I load up a game, like a Cruisin' Blast, and I was like, ooh, this is a series that I very much associated with the mid-90s and has been dormant for a very long time. I'm very skeptical about this being good and not some shovelware thing or something. And then I load it up, and the very first thing I'm greeted with is that song. I just sat at the menu screen, and I was like, oh, oh. And I was like, maybe they did this. And the game's actually
going,
awesome.
Oh, oh,
oh,
oh
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll kiss the bag. No, and then I played it, and I was like, oh, man, he totally did it. Like, this is totally that type of game.
All right, we don't need to walk down the fire escape
now. I think about Cruisin' Blast more than I should, probably. It's,
yeah, more than most people, more than the developers, probably.
Yeah, yeah. There's a level with a big snowman, like, Yeti thing that punches at you. It's just, it gets racing. It understands automobiles in a way few do.
Does it?
Yeah, go to hell, Forza. I really have no interest. Anyway, so I'm just going to go on a rant about Cruisin'. But anyway, yes, we're cruising this morning. How else are you? See, cruising is infected.
Just say it, Dan. Just say it.
How else are you?
That's a weird way to say
it. No, that's why I stopped.
Good. My belly is full of oatmeal.
Yeah.
As per usual at this hour. I'm ready to go. I'm rearing to go.
I gotta say, I think we almost always record in the evening, mm-hmm. and this is our first early morning one, maybe ever, and this feels good.
It feels natural. It feels right.
I got coffee in me. We got some morning light coming in through the closed window. Mm-hmm. This is so good. Nice fall, a brisk fall breeze in the air.
Nothing like jumping out of bed, eating a subpar plant-based breakfast sausage alternative.
You know, first bite, I was like, yeah, all right. And then the second one, I was like, maybe not. And then by the end, I was kind of like, I don't need this. You know? I love meat substitute, mm-hmm. Beyond Impossible, all that stuff. It's just delicious. But they are not made equal, I have found. And I am all for experimenting with mm-hmm. all the different ones. So that's why you picked up these breakfast sausages.
Yeah, I think there's probably like, it's probably in the case of that stuff. I mean, through trial and error, I think we've learned that like, the known brands that we are all familiar with probably have the resources to really get texture right. And
they
stuff.
Got the meat scientists or the fake meat scientists.
Yeah. I mean, there's a spectrum of plant-based substitutes where it's like the ones that try to actually emulate meat, the meat experience, mm-hmm. Versus the ones like the Dr. Prager's of the world that are just like, here's a mash of green stuff.
Yeah, we can call this a burger.
It's hockey puck shaped. Shaped. It's disc shaped, and it can go on a sandwich. And
it's
by
a
those those characteristics entitle it to the name burger.
Yeah, I think there's a taste test thing where it's like
I
a lot of those.
So much better.
Maybe we shouldn't do the morning. We're both just... but yeah, I think the real test is with those is a lot of them you'll eat and it's like, okay, this is the shape of a burger. You can mm-hmm. put it on a bun and put cheese on it or whatever, mm-hmm. but this is not a burger. It doesn't taste like one.
But whereas, it doesn't mean it's bad. It's just
not necessarily
experience.
Bad, but like I definitely like the ones like Beyond and Impossible where it's like literally if you didn't tell me that this was a all vegetarian burger, I would just think it was a delicious cheeseburger, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what like Beyond and Impossible are.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely one that likes when burgers embrace their vegetables and they don't try to cover up their black beans and their carrots and
I like black
peas.
Beans.
They just walk around with their
walk around.
Kimono open for the whole world to see. They're not trying to lie to anyone. This is a vegetable-based burger,
see,
and we're going to scream it from the rooftops.
I want to be fooled. Okay. I don't want to see a carrot or a pea in my burger.
Well, good for you. I
want it to look like a juicy burger straight from a fast
ignorance
food place.
Is bliss. Yeah.
I've always said that. I think I'm living proof of it.
You should get that tattooed across your chest.
Yeah.
In cursive font, really uncharacteristic.
Yeah. That seems well considered. Yeah.
Or maybe you should get in a place that you wouldn't see. I feel like that would be appropriate considering the sentiment of the tattoo itself.
Just like the inside crevice of my like left ass cheek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would never see that.
No.
Thus, you know,
ignorance is
bliss.
Yeah, because you don't know. I mean, I could have that, yeah. You know, and the world doesn't know.
I mean, yeah. this is all to say, that was a weird word noise that I made just then. This is all to say that if you find yourself in a Whole Foods and you see Field and Roast brand apple and maple flavored plant-based breakfast sausage link alternatives, don't get them.
Yeah, or you could just, you know, grab some Play-Doh and just kind of roll it into a cylinder and put some maple syrup
don't
on
feel,
it.
I will eat the rest of these. I don't want you to eat
they're
them.
They're not. No. I'll eat them. They're not great. But
Dan, there's no way I'm going to feed you food that I know you don't like.
I don't like, I'm not vomiting while I eat it.
That's the lowest bar.
I will say I am not enjoying it.
Yes, you should enjoy what you eat.
Okay. I'm curious to hear your verdict on it.
Okay, I'll try it.
Okay.
Maybe it takes just a little another minute in the little another minute. What is wrong with me?
Are we just idiots in the mornings?
Yeah, maybe always. And we're just better at concealing
it. We just have more energetic idiocy in the mornings.
Anyway.
Anywho, all right, now I'm going to throw to you for the segue.
Speaking of things that conceal their true nature.
My God, there we go. Malignant.
Malignant.
There we go. Yes. Hi.
Were you saying hi to me or just the concept of Malignant?
Or myself or the audience or just the universe? I don't know why. Boy, what is going on? I think we maybe need to do more of these in the morning. Or maybe never again. It's one or the other. I feel like it seems like we're high.
Yeah, I'm not high right now.
I'm not either. It's just we just woke up. I'm in a robe.
We're high on sunshine.
And coffee.
Like how plants photosynthesize. We are all right, I'll stop. it's just
wow.
useless metaphors.
Yeah, we're doing great.
I feel like I'm so, I fall victim to that all the time where I say something that everyone like readily understands and then I'll use a metaphor to be completely redundant and explain it in a
Let
weird
me
way.
Muddy what I'm trying to say.
In other words, here's a more confusing way to interpret that.
1 + 1 = 2, but what if you took like 3 and added a couple to it and subtract? You know what I mean? Then we'll get around to 1. Like, that's a cleaner way of getting there, right?
Anyway, this
Malignant.
Film. Okay.
James Wan,
the Saw guy, right?
Yeah, I looked him up. He did Saw, The Conjuring, and Aquaman.
Okay, that's quite the range.
It's weird, yeah.
So Saw, I feel like I saw the first one way back in the day.
I saw the first one and thought it was stupid.
Yes, that brand of horror.
Yes.
Where it's just all like ridiculous shock factor.
Saw, and Hostel.
Yeah, like I'm not averse to shocking imagery. Like I love that shit. As long as there's some kind of like interesting concept behind it, like smart, not just complete like, oh, we're just going to put this on screen because it's interesting looking and it'll elicit a reaction from the viewer. Like, that's the kind of horror that does absolutely nothing for me.
That's the thing, because it just seems, I hate using this term in terms of creative stuff, but lazy to me. Mm-hmm. In that, like, okay, we know we're going to get a cheap, you know, some cheap heat from the audience if we, show a close-up. I think it was Hostel that showed a close-up of, like, some Achilles heel, like, the heel getting, like, sliced through. Like, I remember, like, an extreme close-up. That's the one thing I really remember about Hostel, is a super, like, gratuitous, like, heel slicing thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, of course you're going to get a reaction from people if you show a incredibly detailed effect of something super gruesome. Mm-hmm. But that's not like, that is so much, there's so much less, I guess, like craft to that than like that kind of like a Shining or even like a Halloween, which, you know, we're not horror movie aficionados or anything like that. But, I can appreciate Halloween, like the creepiness of like that music and Michael Myers just staring in through a window and stuff. Like, there's a subtlety to that.
There is. I mean, I should just say too, like, caveat, like, I generally don't really like horror movies. Like, I appreciate Halloween. I recognize, like, especially the first one, like the atmosphere and the soundtrack and everything is incredible. But at the end of the day, I feel like all I'm watching is just someone trying to escape death. And there's nothing deep. There's nothing beyond that. There's nothing interesting beyond that. Versus like a horror movie that I really enjoyed was It Follows, which like I'm not going to spoil it here because, out of respect to our viewers, which, I mean, I've spoiled things countless times, but I also know you haven't seen the movie, but it's a terrifying movie. It's a horror movie, but it's not gratuitous. It's not violent. It's just unbelievably creepy.
You've told me the concept, and even I have not seen a frame of this movie, and the concept is so creepy to mm-hmm. me, you know, like that's telling to me.
Yeah. And when movies like have a wild concept, like how Malignant does versus It Follows is a wild concept too, but like Malignant feels the need to like beat you over the head with exposition and explain everything while leaving some of the more confusing and absurd parts of it completely unexplained.
Yes, absolutely. And before we go into the full thing, I want to say that like going into this, I did not know anything other than like I'd seen some people mention the name of it on
ignorance
social
is
media.
Life, baby, or ignorance is bliss. God damn it. God damn it. Oh, man. I'm sorry. Ignorance is life.
I'm having a good time. That's what I've always said. Yeah, get that tattoo on the right butt cheek. ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is life. Yeah, it's a yin yang thing. So I had heard some. I just heard mentions of it. I didn't know who was in it. I didn't know who made it. I knew it was a horror movie, and it was on HBO Max, and it got a theatrical release. So like, you know, there was a little bit of like buzz about it because it seemed like, oh, it's one of those movies that's actually getting released in the theaters, and it's on HBO Max. So I intentionally went in blind, as I like to do sometimes with these, and I seen the poster, and I think in my head I thought it was going to be one of those. There's probably a term for it, but like one of the more kind of like prestige or like really well-made direct ones. I feel like, you know, we've seen Hereditary and Midsommar. I know those are both from the same guy. Yeah. And, you know, this is another one word, 3 to 4 syllables. You know, it's got to be another one of those. It's got to be another kind of like classy is a weird word for it. But you know what I mean? It's like there's some there's some merit to like the direction and everything. You know, it's not just, there's like a tier of movie. And like, I feel like a lot of movies, like a Saw or something, is just kind of a dumb, cheesy horror movie, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you could tell, like, the opening scene, just the dialogue is...
Instantly. The camera work, I could tell. It was a very, like, Jurassic Park type thing where, you know, like, the raptor scene in Jurassic Park was just like, chaos! But it's awesome in Jurassic Park, and it fits there. But here, it's like, there's chaos in a hospital, and people are screaming, and, like, the zooms and stuff. I was like, oh, this seems like it's going to be a dumb one.
Yeah, just to set up, the opening scene is, like, it's this creepy, castle-y... like mental asylum, or
it
like
it seems like it's from a PS1 like Silent Hill movie or game or something.
Yeah, like, it's like a place where they seem to like run experiments on people, whatever. And it's like on the top of this foggy mountain top, and like surrounded by forest, really isolated, and like just the most tropey stuff you can imagine. And then like shortly after, when all the chaos of the scene is done, the doctor lady looks into the camera and says, "We have to cut the cancer out." And then it cuts this is malignant. Yeah. We have to cut out.
Very on the nose. Extremely on the nose.
Oh my God. It's ridiculous. And then, okay. Like, I was very like, all right. I kind of was able to measure what kind of movie this was going to be based on that. And then, like, the scene where we first meet the protagonist, whose name is Madison.
Madison Lake. Wait, Madison. Can I mention something real quick before we get to that?
Yes.
The title, when it says the cancer and it says malignant, and then it does, like, this, like, montage of, like, you know, of, like, creepy faces and, like, oh, what is this? And like
surgery.
Yeah, surgery. And then they show, like, newspaper clippings and stuff. And one of them just says, talk through speakers. And I just started laughing to myself because all I could picture is the beginning of MacGruber when they're doing that same thing, and it highlights skilled lover. I just thought that's such a funny thing to be like an official FBI dossier. She's a skilled lover.
It's just so lazy. Yeah, it's literally a montage of headlines and imagery, like creepy imagery from surgeries. And, you know, it's just, it's so, just like the trope factor is absurd.
And we have to make sure later on to touch base on that talk through speakers thing. I have questions, but anyway.
Yes!
Let's get to that. There's a bigger conversation later about
all right.
that.
So we meet Madison Lake, who, believe it or not, is not a porn star, but she's... when we
Or a TNA wrestler in 2007.
She's wearing scrubs when we first see her, and yet her medical background is never addressed at all throughout the rest of the movie.
Oh yeah, she's just pregnant and works at a hospital, apparently.
Yeah, well, we never see the hospital. We don't know what capacity she works at the hospital. I am assuming it's a doctor or something because their house is fucking ridiculous. They got to be making money. And her husband's just at home watching MMA or some shit.
Like, sitting in the bed fully clothed on a made bed watching.
In the bedroom.
Like, you have a giant house
in
a living room.
Upstairs in the afternoon. Why aren't you watching this in the living room?
What's happening here?
Why are you fully clothed?
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
It doesn't make any sense.
But you know what? He's a total sweetheart.
So. He's such a good guy. I got to come.
Good heart.
He's
good
a
heart.
Great guy. So within like 2 minutes of meeting him, he like yells at his pregnant wife for killing all the kids before. I guess
yeah, apparently
like,
they've had 40 miscarriages. And he's like, oh, maybe, you know, if you stop getting pregnant. Like, they paint this guy as the most like one-dimensional awful human being.
Oh, my God.
Immediately. Yeah.
And then he like smacks, like pushes her hard into the wall. So she like hits her head first and then falls down.
Yeah, the back of her head. That's
and,
key.
Yeah. And like, okay, so I am an aunt and you are an uncle. And my brother recently had his second kid, and his wife, like, maybe it's because of this and because of seeing Stacy, my sister-in-law, being pregnant. I just feel extremely weird about seeing pregnant women being...
You gasped.
Yeah. And I normally don't respond that way, but it's just like, no, there's a sanctity to a pregnant woman. Don't hurt her.
Which even in movies when I think they're trying to get like cheap heat on a bad guy character or something, they typically don't do that. So,
that's
like,
far. That
I
goes far.
I was kind of surprised they did that. Like, I wasn't like offended or anything, but it is kind of shocking to see because it's like, oh, you don't see that very often.
Well, yeah. You know? And that's another thing to me too. It's like, what was, that was so ridiculous. There was no point in her being pregnant other than that scene, right? Other than adding gravity to that scene.
They try to tie it into a thing at the end, but it is the most like unnecessary, like the whole pregnancy and repeated miscarriages
it's
thing.
So stupid. It's
It does not add anything to the movie.
Yeah, and because of that, I really feel like the only reason they had her pregnant was just so that scene would be more
shock
impactful.
Factor.
Yeah. And yeah, so that was troubling because it's like, come on, she's got a baby inside of her. Leave her the fuck alone. So she's like bleeding from the top of her head, and her husband, she like locks her husband out of the bedroom. And despite her medical background, even though we don't know what capacity she is, she could be like a dental hygienist, I don't know. But she doesn't, she's just letting her, the top of her skull gush out blood and is just like totally aloof to it. Like if your head, if your skull is bleeding to that extent, are you just going to lay down and take a nap? Meanwhile, you're pregnant? Like just fucking call the ambulance. Oh, anyway.
Yes.
So he
gets his pretty quick though.
Yeah, he super dies. So like, there's this creepy, like spider-like humanoid.
It's
monster.
This weird smoke demon thing that's vaguely humanoid. Yeah,
seems to walk weird and like I don't know, really skinny and long hair. And
you don't get any like super clear views of it early on. It's just like this like it feels like it would be a type of enemy in like a horror themed FPS. You know?
Yeah. They really try to cloak the what this thing looks like, and it makes sense obviously as the plot progresses.
Makes
but like,
sense. Yeah.
But I mean that was the thing too. It was like they were like how in. Usual Suspects, they made such a concerted effort to misdirect the audience. The fact that they were going so far to hide the identity of this creature, like in that opening scene that we talked about in the hospital, like they didn't show it at all. It was behind like a weird translucent screen and stuff. Like it was like, okay, they don't want us to know what this thing looks like. And they're going so far to do it that it's probably because its identity is of somewhat significance and not just because it's weird looking.
But the weird thing is, in the opening montage thing, when it's showing like the newspaper clippings and stuff, you are seeing flashes of like this grotesque face that is ultimately its face. So like you kind of see it before you see it.
Well,
you know?
Sure, but you don't necessarily know that while you're seeing that.
Sure, you just know there's going to be some... Like, I assumed it was something where it's like... It's called Malignant, which is, you know, I think that refers to something like a tumor or something that's evil, you know, something malignant, something bad growing on or inside you, right?
Mr. Reichert, I'm sorry to report the tumor is evil.
Oh, no. I got one of those evil ones. And so I assumed the whole time that it was like, okay, there's some weird type of growth or something that they had to cut out of this woman, and now it's running around killing things.
Right.
It winds up being a little more complicated than that in a very dumb way, but that is ultimately it. Like, there's not really a big support. Well, I guess, yeah, there is. Okay, we'll get to it. But anyway, as evil tumors do, it can control TVs and blenders and refrigerators.
Of course. And like most tumors, it is a relentless killing machine.
Yes.
Possesses ungodly strength and the ability to kill full-grown men by snapping its neck in a ridiculous way instantly.
Yeah, completely 180, you know, turnaround on the neck there.
Can crawl on the ceiling.
Yep. Yeah! What the fuck? Yeah, so this whole thing, like, before Derek dies, like, everything electric in the house, like, the couch...
Wait, his name is Derek? Can you remember that?
Yeah, it's Derek. The couch is inflating at one point? Do you remember that?
Yes!
Because it shows, like, the microwave and the blender and all that stuff, and then the couch is like... It's like, what the fuck? We'll get to why this doesn't make sense. I want to talk about this later, but okay. Anyway, they keep doing this weird, I don't know if I'm insane here, but it seems like a weird, like, haunted version of Where Is My Mind by the Pixies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I played it for you, and like you could hear it, right?
Yes,
that
absolutely.
And also, that fits with, like, the theme of the movie. And also, that is exactly the type of thing that some schlocky B thing would be like, because it's in an iconic scene in Fight Club, and that's what everyone, like...
Is that someone's entrance music? Because I was wondering why that sounded so familiar to me.
Must be some, like, Major League Baseball pitcher's entrance music or something like that comes out when he comes to the plate,
yes,
I think.
That's
something
what
like
I thought.
That.
Because, yeah,
right.
I was watching baseball last night.
Yeah,
well,
we do.
Sorry. And I was like, oh, is that the song from the name?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah. So, yes, Maddie loses the baby after the thing, the smoke demon.
And, her husband's dead, and she's really sad about it.
Doesn't seem too sad about the husband. Sad about the baby.
Well, yeah. I mean, she spends a little bit of the subsequent scenes just staring blankly outside the window of her hospital room. And then we meet her sister, who looks like but is not Florence Pugh.
Right. Her sister, not much of a character in this movie. She's there because I think she just needs someone to bounce stuff off of, or somebody for the character to talk to.
Yeah.
But, like, not much of a character, really.
Yeah, it was, I think, yeah, well...
Well, I guess she does play into the plot, but, like...
A little bit. She was, I mean, when you look at the movie holistically after seeing it, like, she's probably the more of the grounded character, because Maddie is, like... Well, she's, you know, got a lot of stuff going on.
yes.
But yeah, I mean, it was useless, relatively useless for the most part, except for like the budding romance between her and that police officer.
I forgot they even did that.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, it's just like a couple of furtive glances. Am I using that word correctly?
Sure.
Furtive? I don't think I've ever said that out loud.
Say
that's
it
fun.
Again.
Furtive.
Say it one more time.
Furtive. Furtive. Yeah, that's good.
Let's go cruising.
Furtive. It's probably not furtive. He probably doesn't say furtive. Yeah, she boards up the whole house and everything because she thinks so. Because she's at points sees it like across the street, like under a street light, you know, looking
in.
Yeah, and
maybe
stuff like
she should just, I don't know, go to a hotel, rent a room instead of spending however much money to buy wood and hours of the day to board up her fucking house.
Yeah, boards up her whole house, gets new locks and everything. Her sister has to take a ladder up to the room like she's Ferguson, and Clarissa explains it all. Mm-hmm. And then breaks the news that she's adopted to her sister.
Right. And she longs for a blood connection. She yearns for it.
She brings that up very specifically, like, I just need a blood connection with someone. Jesus fucking Christ. Then we cut to the Seattle Underground, the old Seattle, like, kind of museum history tour. Mm-hmm. And we meet a woman. We don't know who this woman is. She gets attacked. We'll find out who that woman is. It's her mother. Okay, then the nightmares start. Or I thought they were nightmares at first. You're supposed to think they're nightmares at first. Because mm-hmm. it's like, it seems like it's supposed to be doing, like, a sleep paralysis thing. Where it's like, Maddie is, like, waking up, but she can't move. And there's, like, a dark figure kind of going around doing stuff.
Right.
I thought this was going harder into, like, I don't know how much you've read about sleep paralysis. But, like, that is, people describe it as, like, you wake up, you can't move, and it's horrifying. You're completely awake. And a lot of people, since they're still kind of, like, in a dreamlike state or whatever, they will see just, like, a dark figure come into the room or sit on them or just stand over their bed or something. So I thought this was, like, oh, this is going to be this interesting thing that's kind of playing on that theme, but, like, you know, making it a big horror movie version of that. And it does not play with that at all. It's just, like, they really love this effect where she is standing there with her eyes wide open and the camera is doing a full, like, 360 dolly around her and the walls are getting all goopy in Silent Hill and then someone's getting murdered.
Yeah, and, you know, any possible creepiness factor is, like, completely canceled out by the fact that, you know, it doesn't take, like, pretty much the first scene of the movie has, like, a bonkers chaotic scene, and then, you know, it isn't long after that Derek, our friend Derek, dies. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, relentless in how over the top it is and how constant the death is, that there's no tension. It's just every scene is that, and it's like, you're, as a viewer, you're completely desensitized to it. You're not anticipating anything. The tension isn't building. It's all just there for you. So in a lot of ways, I feel like this is more just like a shitty action movie in, like, horror movie clothing than, like, an actual, like, because I tend to think of horror movies, like, if we're using Hereditary as an example, or Midsommar, just like a slow burn.
And a lot of the unseen stuff is what's kind of creepy, you know?
Yeah.
I always point to Jaws. And I know Jaws is not a traditional horror movie, and some people call it a horror movie, but it's like, there's something that happens at the beginning where it's like, oh, there's a problem at this beach. And then you don't see this fucking shark for 2/3 of the movie.
Yeah, but you do know it's a shark.
You know it's a shark, but it's like, it's this unseen threat. You know this big motherfucking shark's out there, and they catch the shark, and you're like, no, I don't think that's the shark. And it's like, by the time it's like full on, they're on the boat fighting the shark, it's like, this is that motherfucker we've been fearing this whole movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that is so effective. And they actually, Christopher Nolan brought that up when he did The Dark Knight, because he wanted the Joker to be like Jaws, where he's just this, like, you don't see him all the time, but every once in a while, he just kind of pops up and just everything's chaos, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love that so much. Whereas, like, this, it's just, there's never any real slow burn or anything between, like, a nightmare, a doctor's getting killed, I have to watch this doctor get killed, you know?
Yeah, if you have no contrasting tones, then the whole thing is just like one note and is at a zero. Like, if chaos is your baseline, then there's no amount of chaos that's going to elicit like a reaction of fear or whatever from the viewer. You know what I mean? If the, like, an example on the opposite side of the spectrum, there's this movie, came out in like the early 2000s, early mid 2000s. I think it had like Brad Pitt's brother in it, Michael Pitt, I think his name is. I forget his name.
What?
He's an actor. Yeah, he was in Boardwalk Empire.
Oh.
He's in this movie. It was called Last Days. It was supposed to be kind of like Kurt Cobain's Last Days.
Huh.
But it was an incredibly slow movie. Like, literally just, it's one of those movies that you just watch that's more about, like, experiencing than actually, like, plot, having a plot or a story or whatever. And it's just so one note and slow that the like nothing happens, and it's just like nothing affects you in any way. You're just completely detached watching it. And it was like that with this, but just the complete opposite, like tonally, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no variation, and so like there's no reaction.
Like, that's the thing, is I love dumb action movies, mm-hmm. but like if it was literally from the moment go to the end, which is explosions and car chases, mm-hmm. that wouldn't be for me. You need those parts in Die Hard where it's like, it's quiet and he's kind of like crawling through the vents and everything and spying on people. Mm-hmm. You need the parts in Face Off where it's like, here's this weird conversation between these characters that's not just like, oh, people diving in slow motion and shooting.
Yeah, Caster Troy giving his, Sean Archer's daughter some cigarettes
Christ.
Or a knife or some shit.
Papa's got a brand new bag. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, like... you need those different notes. Like, you know, as silly as it is, Face Off has a lot of different notes going on. It's not just nonstop John Woo doves, you know?
No.
And this one, it just, it never gets out of that gear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's either here's some schlocky CG, you know, nightmare scene happening, or here's these characters acting badly and reading really bad dialogue.
Terrible
just
dialogue.
Awful, awful dialogue. We learn about Maddie's past. She gets hypnotherapy and then suddenly remembers her entire childhood.
Mm-hmm.
She used to talk.
That's how cheap
it works.
It's
yeah.
So fucking cheap.
Isn't that? It's like, okay, we need a scene where she remembers. Like, okay, let's do a 2-second scene where she sees a hypnotherapist. Like, oh, right, when I was a kid. Oh, and here's all these VHS tapes of all these moments.
I hate stuff like that. There was a show on HBO called The Undoing with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant, I think. And it's this whole mystery the whole way through the show. You don't know whether this guy committed this crime or not, and at the very end the whole thing is just revealed to the viewer. It wasn't as if they discovered these surveillance tapes or it's literally just they just show you what happens. It's like, why didn't you just show
it's like
me
True
that
Detective season 3.
Yeah, why didn't you just show me that in the beginning? You know what I mean? It's like, okay, great. Yeah, True Detective season 3. At the end, it's just like, okay, we're in the last episode, so here's a massive expedition.
Yeah, after all the slow burn leading up to it, and it's like, let me read the Wikipedia plot summary to you.
Yeah, it's just so fucking lazy. I hate that shit.
Yeah, and like this hypnotherapy scene is just extremely just like, okay, we need to get from A to B. Here's the easiest way we can do it. And, you know, like it's not earned at all.
Yeah, it's absolutely not earned.
And again, this is right when they find like all these VHS tapes, specifically of like, I guess the parents were filming while she was having these psychotic breaks and talking to her imaginary friend Gabriel at a birthday party and stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
very
it's like,
convenient. And then, yeah, that's the thing too. So much of this plot is revealed through old VHS tapes.
Yes.
There's not only the ones that the family recorded, but the ones from the hospital that Maddie was at prior to being adopted.
I keep going back to Resident Evil and Silent Hill, but it is almost kind of that level of storytelling of just like, oh, I found this VHS tape. Here's this thing that explains this thing, or this dossier, or this diary that was left open to Itchy Tasty, you know, like, yeah, it's lame. And Gabriel's killing the doctors, we find out. So
yes.
Gabriel was her imaginary friend as a child. She talked to him. The parents were concerned. At one point, like her birth mother, who was the lady in the Seattle Underground, gave her up for adoption. And then her parents thought she had an imaginary friend. Turns out he's real, and now he's killing doctors in the present day.
Yes, but not only is he real, he is actually Maddie. Well, part of her, at least.
Yes. Yes. We find this out because, well, first of all, the hospital where this happened, mm-hmm. where they separated them or whatever,
mm-hmm.
The sister goes to, and it is straight up, again, from video games, Outlast, where it's like, for some reason, in the middle of the night, she drives up to the spookiest hospital in the world on this cliff, you know, with a full moon or whatever, and she's going around this hospital with a flashlight
right.
at night, and I just had to laugh at, like, it says on the wall, scrawled in huge graffiti, "Welcome to Hell." That is the most fucking Xbox 360 environmental storytelling. Like, oh,
this must be a bad place.
Yeah, welcome to Hell. Like, if you're gonna do that graffiti trick, just like, don't just do "Welcome to Hell." That's the most first draft. Like, hey, we'll do something like "Welcome to Hell," but make it more realistic, you know. Like, it's just the dumbest shit. And so, yes, we find out that at this hospital, as a child, now I was confused at first because I thought this meant that her mom had one, but no, her mom had a normal life and body.
Yes.
And gave birth to a daughter.
Well, yeah, so it was like a conjoined twin situation,
yes,
but Maddie like absorbed the twin, so it became like it's actually a real condition called fetus in fetu. It's really gross if you want to give it a Google image search,
nope.
But it's very real. Like essentially like the conjoined twin, instead of like well, I'm not explaining this in a scientific way, but my understanding is like where it would grow kind of separate but conjoined to the other twin, it kind of grows inside of the other twin. So like a lot of times this results in like just a mass of obviously not a viable person living in the other person, but rather just like a mass of skin and hair and teeth and organs. It's just disgusting. Unbelievably gross. Yeah, really creepy and weird. But that's what happens here. Although it grows instead of like in her belly or whatever, it grows in her brain.
Yeah, and facing the other way. So it's like her. I was laughing my ass off when they first did the flashback of like, okay, they're talking to the girl here. Mm-hmm. You know, she's 9 years old. And then they do the three. They really got their use out of that 360 dolly track. And they go around and you just see these like hands. It's a very like Total Recall Quato thing, you know, where it's just like this. It's like Crypt Keeper on her back. It's the dumbest looking thing in the world.
It's so stupid. But if you think about that scene, they were just showing how like. So they were showing cards to Gabriel, like flashcards, and then she facing the front and Gabriel behind her back, she was able to identify what was on the cards. So it was demonstrating that like he can transfer visual information to her. But then when we see her attack people, she's running around backwards. It's like, why did you have that whole scene it shows that he can see things from behind if she's just going to run around backwards anyway, just to be creepier?
And
it's
have to,
so
like, break your elbows in the other direction. And that's why, like, when there's choking things, like the fingerprints are upside down, they're like, oh, were they hanging from the ceiling? It's like, no, she was backwards and upside down.
It's so fucking dumb. And, yeah, so it's like, moving around, it has a face and arms, and eventually, like, it's old Gabriel is causing so much trouble, they're like, oh, we have to remove the cancer. And instead of, like, actually removing it, they cut off the arms, and then they push Gabriel's head into her brain.
Just cram you in
and,
there.
Yeah, they just, like, stuff it in, like, if you're trying to overpack for a vacation in your luggage. And then they just, like, I don't know, close her cranium and then call
it
a day.
Just put some stitches in there. Leave that. That'll be fine. Nothing bad's going to happen there. Yeah. Oh, man. It's just like, and then when it's running around, it looks so fucking funny. It's like Banjo-Kazooie when you do the thing where Kazooie's running around and Banjo's on his back. It's just like, you see, and it's the most obvious, it's like a practical effect, mm-hmm. but you can tell it's a stuntman running around with like the face of Maddie on the back, just like not moving. It looks so fake.
Oh, my God. It looks terrible.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, yeah, basically, at the beginning, when Derek shoved her against the wall, since the back of her head hit the wall, that's Gabriel's home. And he's like, oh, I should come to life and start killing people.
Yeah.
And so, and then it wants to, early on in the flashbacks, we learned that it wanted to kill the unborn sister because it was not a blood relative. And so he was like trying, in some of the flashbacks, he's trying to get Maddie to kill.
Why does Gabriel care so much about that? Why does he give a shit?
Gabriel seems to have some problems.
And like, what were the scientists doing that were so evil? Like, obviously it's shitty, but that they were like, seemed to be like experimenting on them. But it doesn't really go into any particular like crazy experiments other than like them trying to remove him.
I mean, and weren't they saying that like this was going to be a terrible thing if they didn't, like this was going to like kill her or like she had this awful thing growing out of her, you know?
Yeah. And like 20 years later, he awakens, or maybe even more than that, he awakens and is like, okay, I have to kill all those people now.
And never, he would have that memory after all those years?
Have that memory. Would know where they're living, where to find them.
Right. Yeah, how is it like? Is it getting on Google? Are there scenes, like deleted scenes of searching for doctors?
Yeah, Dan, if you had a conjoined twin growing inside of you, wouldn't that, the only effect would be that it would inhibit your ability to move and probably your ability to just function like a regular person. It wouldn't take control of your body and give you superhuman abilities, including the ability to walk on the wall and control electricity.
Yes, the electricity thing, I don't even think they try to explain. And don't forget, there's an interrogation scene with Maddie where she's there with two cops in an interrogation scene. And Gabriel calls the cops.
Yes.
Now, we know now that Gabriel is very attached. He doesn't break off and go around and kill people. He is literally her back, basically. She's sitting there, sets a phone on the table. It's getting an unknown call to that phone. The cops start talking.
How did Gabriel get the number?
Is Gabriel on the phone? Yeah, is he on the back? He's like, hey, kid, I got to talk real quiet because they're going to hear me.
Yeah, so I guess he speaks through the electrical currents, but that's not explained at all. It's also not explained how he would have superhuman strength and the ability to take down an entire cell full of prisoners.
How did he inflate the couch?
Entire police station.
How did he inflate the couch?
How did he fucking inflate the couch?
They don't even try. Oh, most dumb movies at least just give me one line of dialogue that's like, oh, when we were doing the experiment at the beginning, I don't know, a light bulb fell into the goo and I don't know, he's got electric powers now.
So this movie, it doesn't explain how he has these abilities. It doesn't explain why his motivations are what they are. It doesn't explain who Maddie is, what her medical profession is, why she's with this fucking asshole, how she lives in this fucking mansion.
This character has no human qualities whatsoever. Maddie, she's just this like wide-eyed, just like, oh, what's happening? Like, there's one note to this character the whole time.
I just imagine, like, to continue my trend of using terrible metaphors, it's like you're in a cafeteria and you're given a plate and the lunch lady is just heaping on spoonful after spoonful of just like beans, like just baked beans, and you have this plate full of baked beans.
I got enough beans.
Yeah, and it's like, why do I have all these beans? And the lunch lady just doesn't answer you, and you have this giant plate of baked beans. You're just like, all right, I guess I have these baked beans now. It's like, why the fuck? Just give me something. Give me some protein. Give me some vegetables.
I will say, this is straight up a bad fucking movie, but there was a moment, I think, around the time of the jail scene, because Maddie gets put in jail for some fucking reason, and because I think they suspect her, and she's in there with the most, like, you know, central casting, right. Just like, I'm addicted to meth, yeah. Hey, lady, I'm gonna kick your ass. You know,
for
like,
no reason, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, there's like 20, like, just, you know, criminal ladies in there with her, and all of a sudden, it just goes into the scene where it's the first, like, kind of like, ha, I'm here. I'm going to run around and kill y'all. And you're going to see it all clearly. And it is so fucking dumb. At one point, it gets a throat rip in. Doesn't get the turkey, but it gets a throat rip. And it's just so fucking stupid in a way that, like, in that moment, I thought there was, like, some self-awareness of just, like, okay, they know how stupid this is, and now they're just having fun with it. That was the scene when it's running around the jail, and then it breaks out and goes on this, like, Terminator killing spree through the police station. I was like, okay, this is the kind of stupid I could be in for. I don't know if I needed an hour and a half for this scene.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I was enjoying myself.
Well, and then the one, the female detective tells the dude, after the entire police station has been massacred, 150-pound man who has no supernatural powers, can you please, you have to stop this creature. Okay, this guy who has nothing but a gun and, like, no discernible superhuman strength is going to stop this creature that just destroyed an entire police station and a prison cell full of badass ladies? Like, it's just so, so, so silly. It's just preposterously silly.
And as dumb as that action scene is, I think the thing that they try to end on is even stupider, maybe, because that's when they try to pay off the miscarriage angle, and it's just like, wait a minute, okay, so they have some confrontation or whatever, or like the sister tells Maddie that, like, oh, he's been there the whole time, and all those miscarriages, he killed all your babies, he was feeding off the fetuses to make himself stronger.
How does the sister know that? The sister didn't even know Gabriel was there, and now she's able to deduce all of a sudden that he was responsible.
Yeah. I'm sorry, as you're laying there dying with no medical degree, how do you know this about this crazy back demon? Like, what the fuck? How do you... Oh, it's just... The thing that bugs me, I can get down with some stupid shit, but it's like, at least... try. At least give me, again, one sentence as to why it can control electricity, or why would the sister, like, I mean, just give me something. You can't just do the thing with zero explanation.
Exactly. Even if it was just, like, by all accounts, this just seems to be, like, happening in our basic reality. If it was a world in which, like, there were other people that were able to control stuff, like, all right, that would help suspend disbelief a little bit.
But, or even like, oh, she found a document in the hospital. Like, the sister went to the hospital. Like, have her just be like, oh my God, she's shocked to learn about it. Like, oh, it'll feed off anything. Like, just something. It can be 30 seconds of screen time. That's it. And then, speaking of shit that makes no fucking sense, just for convenience sake for the script, it ends by Maddie putting Gabriel in, like, a mind jail?
Yeah, it's like...
she just decides to?
Yeah, it's like when Eleven in Stranger Things, like, communes with, like, the demons or whatever in the in-between or whatever it's called. Or is that...
Upside Down?
Upside Down, yeah. Yeah, it's just like that she suddenly is able to assert control. I don't know why she didn't, why Maddie didn't do this before the entire police station was slaughtered, but yeah. Something happens that we never see or hear about, and she's suddenly able to assert control and tell Gabriel to stop it. You've been a bad boy and you should stop it.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much it.
Just closes a like physical cell door in her mind until, and he's like, no, no, you defeated me. Like,
that doesn't solve the weird face that's coming out of the back of her head. But
well, it
right.
Like retracts and goes back in. And then, like, stupid. Then she has to, like, lift this, like, super heavy piece of hospital machinery off her sister, and the sister's like, it's too heavy, you can't do it, Madison. He's like, oh, but Gabriel makes me strong, I still have this, it was always my body. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, that also doesn't explain it.
And you are like, 100 pounds.
Yeah, I feel like you would be weaker if you had some malignant
that's what I'm
full
saying.
Thing
yeah,
growing
absolutely.
Inside
you.
You
would
like,
definitely, that would be very uncomfortable.
It's not just a, like, plus 20 to strength stat, it's like, fucking, no, that's, your body's gonna be fucked up. Like, and so she just lifts the thing up, and then that's, oh, but then at the end, there's the little tease of, like, there's a hum on the light
sure.
next to them. Which, of course, this is going to be the dumbass, you know, this is from the Saw guy, so I'm sure we're going to get 40 dumbass sequels of this goddamn back demon running around.
It's just, you know, it's disappointing that, like, there are really brilliant creators out there who have unbelievable ideas that will never get their movies made, and yet this shit has, like, a huge budget and is going to make so much money, and people are talking about social media like it's the second coming of Christ. It's just so fucking stupid.
I don't... There is something about horror movies where it's like, obviously, we are not the audience, but there is an appeal, obviously, because, like, these Saw movies get a million sequels. There are a ton of, like, this tier of horror movie, mm-hmm. and obviously it's successful, so I understand why it gets made. I just watch it, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, absolutely. I understand. They'd be leaving money on the table if they
didn't.
And it's the most, like, you could just churn out these scripts. Like, I mean, it's just brainless, but...
this is a dumb fucking
very
movie.
Very dumb.
Extremely dumb. Yes.
Poor Madison just yearning for a blood connection.
Just keeps getting pregnant. Her husband's yelling at her about getting pregnant, and then the back demon ate all her babies until she put it in a mind jail.
Yeah, there you go.
Fuck. That's Malignant, folks.
That is Malignant.
More like, yeah, Malignant.
So. Gotta cut out the cancer. And it isn't cancer. It turns out to not be cancer.
No,
it turns
out to
be
a back demon.
A twin.
Yeah.
A sibling.
It is amazing how, like, within, like, 90 seconds of the beginning of the movie, I was like, oh, it's gonna be a dumb one. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like, I really thought it was gonna be, like, a Hereditary type thing. Which is not my, like, favorite movie in the world, but it's like, I could see the value in it. You know? It's,
oh,
like,
yeah,
well-made.
I mean, yeah, I didn't love Hereditary, but it was, you know, magnitudes better than this.
Yes.
Midsommar, I actually thought was quite enjoyable. Because, like, there were no, like, crazy supernatural elements to that. That was just weird.
And it happening during the day. There was, like, a creepy factor
yeah,
to that,
and it was,
you know?
Just very, like... It was very, very pretty, beautifully shot and kind of serene. And, like, you know, not to go into Midsommar too much, but I just love that the it was actually, like, the protagonist had the last laugh, you know?
Oh, sure, sure. There's some fun stuff there. But fuck this one. This, no good.
No.
If you have, for some reason, listened to this whole podcast and have not seen the movie, I don't know why you would want to go watch it now. Unless this sounds hilarious to you, it's not worth it, I would say.
I would say your time would be better served just Googling fetus in fetu and reading the Wikipedia articles.
Mileage may vary on that. I don't know. So, I want to give a shout-out to all of our patrons.
Hello, thank you.
Hello, thank you from me as well. We do a Patreon. We do it real simply. You go to paintingthestream.com or patreon.com/paintingthestream. I think it's patreon.com/paintingthestream. And so one $5 tier gives you ad-free episodes.
Simple.
Early episodes.
Wow.
Access to the Discord.
Wow.
And for you, written for you by Bonk. It's a Bonk who? Bonk, do we have someone this week?
We sure do, Dan.
Who do we have?
This week, we are honoring our... IRL friend, Jeff Grubb. Jeffrey Grubb.
Can use friend loosely. I mean, he's a monstrous...
Well, mortal enemy, I should say.
Yes, he's a good guy. But yeah, fuck that guy.
Jeff, I apologize on behalf of my husband. Here is your Bonku. Amid the birch trees stood the lone man, Jeffrey, forever waiting.
Forever waiting to get the top spot on that Astro speedrun leaderboard, if more like it, right?
It's a long dead feud that you keep.
Well, but, you know, I like to remind folks that I'm the better man.
Or did you really end on top with that?
Let's just say yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Grub. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Much appreciated. Thanks to all of our patrons. Thanks to everyone who's listening. Yeah, if you're just checking out Painting the Stream, thank you, regardless, patron, non-patron, passerby, hearing this, and I don't know why this would be playing in like a bodega or something, but if you happen to hear it in a bodega, thank you also. If you are standing in a bodega right now hearing my voice say this, please tweet at me.
Well, I
mean,
it could be that they have headphones in and they're going for their breakfast sandwich. And...
That's true. That actually greatly raises... If you are hearing this right now in a bodega, please tweet at Pan the Stream on Twitter and let us know.
Yeah.
I don't know what we can do with that information. I'm just curious. That's it. I like the morning podcast.
Yeah, I'm coming to it.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for listening, folks. Thanks to Tom Honor for the theme song.
Bonk.
Thank you so much for joining me each and every week.
Thank you for being such a great host and such a cutie. Look at that smile.
Come
those
on.
Cheeks.
It takes two.
It's so
it
pleasing to look at your face.
I'm going to hide behind this windscreen. Thanks, everyone. I will see you all. We will see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.